This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa afdala salat wa atamu taslim ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله. We have reached the 107th Hikmah, this blessed collection by the great Imam Ibn Athaa'il al-Sakandari, where he says, لا يخاف عليك أن تلتبس الطرق عليك وإنما يخاف عليك من غلبة الهوى عليك. So this is a very straightforward meaning. Inshallah ta'ala, we will let go a little bit deeper to understand how it applies to you and I as human beings. This can be translated. What is feared is not that the ways leading to Allah will be confusing to you. Rather, it is feared that passion will overcome you. So this is not too complicated. It's not too hard to understand. But it definitely is important wisdom that you and I need. And sometimes the most apparent things tend to be the most hidden. Sometimes the most obvious things that we fail to be aware of. And we are all plagued as human beings with self-deception. We're all deceived about our own selves. And if we don't think we're deceived, then we're even deceived twofold. We're deceived and we're deceived thinking that we're not deceived. We're all in the state of deception. And what we want is to wake up and to come to terms with our true state. Now, from the bounty of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He doesn't tend to let us know about the reality of ourselves too quickly. Otherwise, we would probably panic and just throw in the towel and think that there's no hope. It's from His mercy that He slowly makes us aware of the reality of our state. But the amazing thing is, the more you travel the spiritual path, the closer you get to Allah, the more flaws that you start to see in yourself. And it's actually one of the high degrees of wilaya, of closest to Allah, where they actually see themselves as the source of evil in the world, and they're the closest of people to Allah. Not in some false sense of like, oh, I'm the worst person on earth. No, but they actually see themselves as falling so short in fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a real way, they really see themselves as falling short. That enormous amount of evil comes from their shortcomings that affects the rest of the world. This is how they see themselves. And this doesn't mean that you just kind of like mope around, like, I'm horrible, I can't be anything, I'm never going to succeed. No, it doesn't mean that. This is something internal. It's an internal way that you see your own self to make sure that you constantly put your nafs in check and then work on yourself at all times. That's the whole point. You be aware of your reality so that you can work on yourself. And that's what Allah Ta'ala wants to see when He is gazing upon our hearts. He wants to see us broken before Him, feeling absolutely in need of Him, seeing ourselves as constantly falling short in fulfilling His right and doing whatever it is that we can to do better. And that never ends as long as we're here in this world. As long as we're here in this world, we will have ups and downs. We will have backs and forths. We will have ebbs and flows. We will have happiness and sadness. We'll experience different tajalliyat, different manifestations of His both majestic and beautiful attributes. And inshallah ta'ala, when we pass away and enter into paradise, may we all be people of paradise. At that point, it's only beauty. The ups and downs, the hardships, the tribulations, that's only for this world. The hereafter, if we arrive safely, and we are saved on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the scale of our good deeds outweighs the scale of our bad deeds, and we receive the intercession of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we come to his blessed basin, and we take a sip of the incredibly that life-giving, what do you even call it, substance that is cooler than ice, sweeter than honey, and white as milk. And then once you take a drink from his blessed hod, you never get thirsty ever again. Not us. And then we enter into paradise, inshallah, ta'ala, behind and with Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, there's only beauty eternally that just gets better and better and better and better and never ends. Wa hakada. And as Allah ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, la yabghuna ana hiwala. Is that they don't want anything other than what they're receiving. So you're like, you know how you're here in this world, like you're eating one type of food and feel like, okay, I've had enough, I want something else. And then you have something else and you want something else. And you get this and then you want something else, you want that. Or you drive this car and like, okay, I want this now. Or you wear this, no, I want to wear that now. You're never satisfied. Whereas in paradise, khalas. Is it whatever you're experiencing in the moment? You don't want anything else other than what it is that you're experiencing in that moment. From the way that you're experiencing that from the outpour of his bounty, tabarakah wa ta'ala. So, la yukhafu alayk. So, khafu yakhafu is to fear. Yukhafu here, it's mabdin mashwul, it's in the passive tense. Okay, so it is not feared. Alayk, yani for you. So it's not feared for you, the what? In taltabisa turuq. So, yeltabisu is a word used to, you would use for like, to be confused about something, or even deluded about something, or that uncertain about something. So, iltabasa, to be confused about it. Yani, iltabasa alayya. I didn't understand it fully, that I was, it confused me. But here, at-turuq is the plural of tariq, which is a path. And so that we know the number of paths to Allah are added anfas al-khalaiq. The number of paths to Allah are the number of breaths of creation. And this is very important. Now, what we mean by that is when it relates to any particular individual. That doesn't mean that anything that you're doing draw near to Allah. No, the doors are closed after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. What it means is, within following the sunnah, there's different paths that different people have. While everybody has to perform the basic obligations, some people, their path to Jannah is being good to their parents. Other people, it's earning a living. For some people, it's being patient with a serious health affliction. For other people, it's being tried with their children. For other people, it's being that tried in some other way. People have different paths to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as we all have a unique thumbprint, we all essentially have a unique path to Allah. And so there's many different ways to Allah. And that a similar word is used in the Quran, subul, لَيَنَهْدِيَنُّهُمْ subulana. We will need guide them to our ways, the ways that lead to closeness to us. So this word tariq, sabil, the word salik, which means a traveler, all of these words that point to this meaning of spiritual wayfaring, spiritual voyaging, spiritual travel. So the turuq, tariq, ways, yani the ways that lead to Allah. So he's saying here is that this is not feared for you, yani for us, that we become confused regarding the paths to Allah. And we'll go into more detail in a minute. وَإِنَّمَا, here this is restricting the meaning. The true fear is, restricting it to what? يُخَافْ عَلَيْكَ. It is feared for you that what? مِنْ غَلَبَةِ الْهَوَى. غَلَبَ يَغْلِبُ is to overcome. Okay, so you might have seen like written on the Al-Hamra, يعني لا غالب إلا الله. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the subduer. No one can overcome Allah. When Allah ta'ala wants something to happen, خلاص. La man'a lima a'tayt. No one can withhold what he's given. Wala mu'ti ma manat. And no one can give what he is withheld. When Allah ta'ala decides to give or decides to withhold. So ghalabat al-hawa. What happens though, and this is a negative state, is that our hawa, our desire, our caprice, our passion, however it is that you choose to translate it, I tend to go with desire, overcomes us. What is your hawa? Your hawa is what arises within your nafs, which is you, and it relates to passions and desires that you have for things of this world. So let's just say that you have a desire to eat. And you know there's a time for that, but ghalabat al-hawa, your desire to eat is so strong that you just can't wait. You just eat. It overcame you. Or your desire for something, whatever that thing might be. You know it's not the time for that thing. Or there's a process that you have to go through to attain that particular thing. But your desire overcomes you and you do that thing. Now there's things that are within that that are permissible, but it's just not good. Then there's things that are disliked, and then there's things that are haram. Where there's haram, desires that we have for haram, unlawful things, and it overcomes you and you fall into that. And then there's things that are disliked, and there's things that are permissible. And what we want, though, and this is the understanding of this hadith, is to be in control of ourselves. Self-control. This is one of the most important virtues of all. And incidentally, even though these things, we don't really need them, because we have the sunnah of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that suffices. But when we were visited by Dr. Leonard Sachs some time ago, and he put up a survey, and he put up a list of traits, and I actually don't remember what the other traits were, but he said, of all of the traits that are up there, which one do you think predicts success the most? Now, their definition of success might be a little bit different from ours, but more in a very outward type of sense, right? And that, you know, income, things of this nature, and education and things like that, which obviously is more nuanced for us. But anyhow, there was a number of choices, and most people got it wrong. But it turns out it's self-control. Self-control is the number one trait to, if you want to be successful in a worldly sense, let alone in the hereafter, it gets back to self-control. But when was the last time you learned about self-control in school? When was the last time that you learned about self-control in your social media feed? When was the last time your next door neighbor, hey, I just want to talk to you today about self-control, right? People think you're weird. Like, what are you talking about? And you're weird. This is the time in which we live, where the things that we really need are actually deemed to be weird. But for us, طُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى, always remember, glad tidings to the strangers. If people think you're strange in this time because you do certain things or you don't do certain things or you dress a certain way or you talk a certain way or you avoid certain situations or so forth and so on, and people think you're weird, that if you're a boy in high school and you go to public school and you're not into girls, they think you're that something else is going on there. And it's, subhanAllah, the pressure that people have on them. May Allah Ta'ala protect our young people. But here, the whole point is that these desires arise within your nafs. And what the deen does is it teaches us to regulate desire. That's really what we want, is to regulate desire. So going into a little bit more in-depth commentary. So undoubtedly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified for us the path to Him. The ultimate purpose of the Quran is to call the creation to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the ultimate purpose of the Quran. Everything that our Prophet taught is musil ila Allah. It takes you to Allah. It brings you closer to Allah. So Allah Ta'ala taught us this on the tongue of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet received the Quran and then that recited it to us, so we know this is the word of Allah. And then he that gave us that many different sayings, thousands upon thousands of blessed words, that if you stick to what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in terms of belief, practice, and state of heart, khalas, eternal felicity. And so that we have the sacred law, we have the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we have the spiritualities that come from putting our knowledge into practice. All of this has been clarified. Imanan, Islaman, wa ihsanan. At the level of belief, at the level of practice, and the level of spirituality, if you will. And so our Prophet ﷺ reached the highest degree of nasiha. As he said in the hadith, there's no good except that I pointed you to it. And there's no evil except that I warned you from it. Comprehensive guidance, the highest degree of nasiha. There's nothing that he left out. There's nothing left out. He completely conveyed everything that it is that you and I need to know to do the most important thing of all in our lives, which is to draw near to Allah, complete guidance. From the smallest of things, and when so far as it, because the Prophet did, is not considered to be small, to the greatest of things. And the Sahaba, during their time, that some people made fun of the companions. Oh, he's teaching you how to use the bathroom? And how did the companion respond? Yes, he taught us everything, even how to go to the bathroom. Everything. Everything. Even how do you, just in going to the bathroom, there's 15 or 20 sunnahs that you can follow and rise in rank and closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And other people leave and they have najas all over their clothes. He taught us everything, even how to use the restroom. We shouldn't be shy about anything in relation to our deen. He taught us everything, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have everything that you need, and the deen is complete. What did Allah ta'ala say? And this was revealed on the day of Arafah in the farewell pilgrimage. Al-yawm akmaltu lakum dinakum. I have perfected your religion for you on this day. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. I've completed my blessing for you. Wa raditu lakum islam deen. And I am content for you to have Islam as your deen. And Allah Ta'ala also says, La akraha fi ad-deen. There is no compulsion in religion. Qad tabayyana rushdu min al-ghay. Guidance has become clear from misguidance. Through the way that the Prophet ﷺ clarified, ballagh al-amana. And that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that conveyed the trust that was put upon his shoulders. And he conveyed it. And so once he conveyed it, now guidance is clear. No one could say they don't know the path to Allah Ta'ala. It's clear as day. And this is actually one of his hadith. Taraktukum ala al-muhajjat al-bayda. I have left you on the white path. Yani the clear white path. That there's absolutely no ambiguity about it. About the way to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Laylaha kanahari. It's night is like it's day. And normally when you travel at night, that you can't see. In relation to this, khalas. In all situations, it's clear as could be. La yazig anha illa halik. Only someone who brings damnation on themselves will deviate from it. If they choose the wrong thing willingly, these are the people that they destroy themselves. And when we say that Allah leads people astray, they've gone astray in themselves, and Allah Ta'ala lets them go astray because He's given us freedom of choice. And so what a blessing to have this deen of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that gives us such clarity. One of the righteous that he says, At-tariq waldih, the path is clear. Wal-haq la'ih, and the truth is apparent. Wal-da'i qad asma, the caller has conveyed the message so that we've heard. فَمَا التَّحَيَّرْ بَعْدَ هَذَا إِلَّا مَنِ الْعَمَى. Where is any confusion or in relation to this other than someone who is just simply blind? But then the question is that unfortunately you and I as human beings can be blinded. And that it's not the eyes that go blind, but as our Lord teaches us, but it's the hearts in the chest. That this is what goes blind is the hearts and the chest. And one of the ways that the heart goes blind is when someone has hawa. When you have a strong desire for something, it's as if that you have no intellect. Just think about the times we've had a real strong desire for something. And people tell you, no, don't, wait, later, think about it. And you have blinders on. As if that you don't listen to anything that they say. And anger is part of this because anger is a desire. And think about when you become angry, you do the stupidest things when you become angry that you regret shortly after when you calm down. Ya Allah, what did I just do? no matter what people say to you, as if you're Majnun, as if you're insane. And the same thing is when desire overcomes you. And so, that what they're teaching us here is that we can become blinded. And the greatest way, one of the greatest ways, the easiest ways that we can be blinded is from our desires overcoming us. And so this is something that we have to understand in relation to human psychology and to human decision making and learn how to control ourselves. And then the famous Rabi'at al-Adawiyyah, she heard that one of the righteous, this man by the name of Salih al-Muri, say, "Man adman qara' al-bab yushak an yuftah lah." Whoever continues to knock on the door is that it will soon open up for him. And then she said, Rabia said, "Al-bab miftuh." The door is already open. "Wa anta tafirru minhu." But people are running away from it. So see the difference? So one meaning, that's a true meaning. You knock on the door, meaning that you strive to draw near to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you supplicate Him, you ask His help in matters. But what she's saying is the door's open, but we tend to run away from the open door. And she says, "Kayfa tasil ila maqsad akhta'ta at-tariq ilayhi fi awwal qadam." How can you achieve something that you are aiming for when you start to deviate from the path when you take your first step? So meaning is that if your decisions, if your conception, if your perception is polluted by the hawa, it's a serious problem. So remember we mentioned in class this morning, قُطْرَةٌ مِنَ الْهَوَىٰ تُفْسِدُ بَحْرًا مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. One drop of desire can spoil an entire ocean of knowledge. One drop of desire. And this is very dangerous. And this is why it is such a big thing to learn to control ourselves. وَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. As for the one that fears the standing before his Lord and prevents the nafs, yani the soul, from its desire, what happens? Paradise is the resting place. This is Quran. Look at how many times that Allah Ta'ala speaks about desire in the Quran and how it can actually become someone's God that they worship, because that becomes the way that they see things, that becomes the deciding factor for how they do things. So it's as if that their own desire, their own hawa, is their ilah that's worshipped without right. So the door is open and it's very clear without any ambiguity. And so then we have to watch ourselves. And you see this meaning in multiple poems. The Burda that we recite here every Sunday usually. فَصْرِفْ حَوَاهَا وَحَاذِرٍ تُوَلِّيهُ إِنَّ الْهَوَىٰ مَا تَوَلّْ يُسْمِي أَوْ يَصِيمِي. And this means roughly is that divert your hawa, yani guard yourself against it and protect yourself from having it gain control over you. Once the hawa, once the desire gains control, it will blind you or do you in. This is the nature of it. This is what it does. And other poets have said, وَعَافَتِ الْعَقْلِ الْهَوَىٰ فَمَنْ عَلَىٰ هَوَاهُ عَقْلُهُ فَقَدْ نَجَىٰ, is that the pitfall of the intellect is desire. So whoever gains control over the desire through true intellect will be saved. So they're totally opposites. The aql, the intellect is here, and hawa is here. They're totally opposites. And it's a constant battle. And they're totally different. The aql is about stability. It's about restraint. It's about thinking about consequences. It's thinking long term in the future about your eternal life. Whereas the passion is volatile. It's about the immediate now. It wants what it wants. And it always relates to things of the ephemeral world. It's total opposite. Stability, instability. That volatility and that stability, They're opposites. إذا أنت لم تعصي الهوى قادك الهوى إلى كل ما في عليك عليك مقالئ. If you don't go against your desires will take you to everything that were you to do it, that people would speak ill of you for doing it. Because إن الله كتب الهوى على من اتبع الهوى. Allah has written humiliation upon the one who follows their desires. And people think that they're getting away from it, and then all of a sudden, they're exposed. And what happens? All those things that you did, all those people you took advantage of, all those people that you cheated, all those people that you abused, and then it's exposed. And then you're humiliated. And you went from people wanting to do anything to be around you to people that thinking you're disgusting. All akada. This is the nature of this type of stuff. We don't necessarily worry about what people think, but we protect ourselves to do the right thing before our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Sayyidi Ahmad ibn Ajiba that he says, فَلَا يُخَافَ عَلَيْكَ It is not feared for you. إِلْتِبَاسَ الْهُوَى إِنَّمَا يُخَافَ عَلَيْكَ اتِّبَاعَ إِلْتِبَاسُ الْهُدَى إِنَّمَا يُخَافَ عَلَيْكَ اتِّبَاعَ الْهَوَى As he tends to do, to talk about different dimensions of the same meaning. It is not feared for you that guidance will not be clear to you. What's feared for you is that you follow your desire. إِنْ فَلَا يُخَافَ عَلَيْكَ إِلْتِبَاسَ الْحَقِّ وَإِنَّمَا يُخَافَ عَلَيْكَ جَهَلَةُ الْخَلْقِ It is not feared for you to not know that what the truth is. What is feared for you is to be dragged into the ignorance of the way other people see things. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنْ تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ If you follow the majority of people in creation on earth, they will misguide you and take you away from the path of Allah. And this was revealed during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that was then, and what about now? The vast majority of people that are out there that you could go learn from, that are speaking, that have content on YouTube or on social media or teaching classes in the university or whatever, the vast majority of them will lead you astray. Sadaqallah. Allah has told the truth. This is a reality. When to te akthara man fit alt, were you to follow the majority of the people on earth, you did look an sibilillah. They will misguide you from the path of Allah. فَلَا يُخَافَ عَلَيْكَ عَدَمْ وُجُودَ أَهْلِ التَّحْقِيقِ It is not feared that there's not true people who can take you to Allah. وَإِنَّمَا يُخَافَ عَلَيْكَ قُطَّعَ الطَّرِيقِ So these are all rhymed prose. And what is feared for you are the brigands. Literally, the قُطَّعَ الطَّرِيقِ are the people who cut off the road and they rob the caravan. Meaning there's people that are like that in your life. You get with the wrong people and you start getting the wrong understanding and you start doing the wrong thing. This is the nature of how these things work. And he says here, finally, فَلَا يُخَافَ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ خَفَى أَهْلِ الْحَقِّ is not feared for you that the true people of Allah will be hidden. إِنَّمَا يُخَافَ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قِلَّةَ السِّلْقِ What is feared for you is that you have only a little sincerity. And he then went on to say, وَاللَّهِ مَا حَجَبَهُمْ عَنْكَ إِلَّا مِنْ عَدَمَ صِدْقِكَ It's only your lack of sincerity that they have been hidden from you. فَلَوْ حَسَّنْتَ ظَنَّكَ بِاللَّهِ وَبِأَوْلِ اللَّهِ Where you would have a good opinion of Allah and had a good of opinion of the people of Allah. لَرَفَعَ اللَّهُ الْحِجَابَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُمْ Allah would lift the veil between you and them. أَقْرَبْ إِلَيْكَ مَنْ أَنْ تَرْحَمْ فَوَجَدْتُهُمْ أَقْرَبْ إِلَيْكَ مَنْ أَنْ تَرْحَ إِلَيْهِمْ You'll find them closer to you than even a need to go out to travel to be with them. فَسُبْحَانَ مَنْ سَتَّنُوا فِي هَذْ ظُهُرِهِمْ Glory be to the one who veiled them when they are among people and apparent. وَأَظْهَرُهُمْ فِي هَالِ خَفَائِهِمْ And they made them manifest when certain aspects of them are hidden. And this leads into the next aphorism we'll take, inshallah ta'ala, not next week, the week after. So the essence of this is learning about the danger of the hawa, and learning the details of the different types of desires that we can have, what they drag us into, and then with guidance of true teachers, implementing the sacred law of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is where we start, and then slowly traveling the path to Him little by little and building upon a strong foundation where what happens is the more you do this, You fulfill what our Prophet ﷺ asked of us. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ هَوَاهُ تَبَعًا لِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ. None of you truly believe until his hawa corresponds to what I have brought. So you were not a religion, we're not people that try to uproot desire. No, all we're trying to do is regulate it first and then channel it. And then eventually, your hawa, yani what you want, is what the Prophet ﷺ wants. And that takes a lot of spiritual struggle. But it takes knowledge, it takes environment, it takes teachers, and it takes, for most people, a long period of time. But what happens is, what our Prophet wants, which is what Allah wants. What Allah wants, what the Prophet wants from us is what Allah wants from us. When the Prophet is content with us, Allah is content with us. This is Quran. Allah wa haqqu an yurduhu in kana mu'minin. Very clearly mentioned in the book of Allah. So what our Prophet brought is what Allah wants for us. It's the murad of Allah. And so when you put that into practice, little by little, at first it's a struggle. And then eventually you start to change. And that becomes what you want. And then there are people that reach the highest degrees of annihilating themselves in the Blessed Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, outwardly and inwardly, where the only thing that they want is what the Prophet wants. What our Prophet loved, they loved. What the Prophet hated, they hate. Hakada. That's the goal. And that person, when reaches that state, Allah, what can you say about that person? How beloved are they going to be to Allah when they have resembled Al-Habib al-A'zam, the greatest beloved in that way? Then they attain the highest degrees of closeness to Allah Ta'ala. That is the path. So what happens is your hawa becomes what the Prophet ﷺ wants, and then it starts to assist you eventually, where you actually enjoy dhikr, and remembrance of Allah. You enjoy prayer. You enjoy doing good. And then you have to be careful of doing it because you enjoy it. Then you have to remind yourself that it's not about doing it for the sake of enjoying it, although Allah gives you that, because you would do it even if you didn't enjoy it. You do it because Allah Ta'ala wants you to do it. You do it because you're an abd, you're a servant, and that's what is befitting for you to do. And then, ya Allah, there are blessings that come from that that are not possible to put in human words. May Allah Ta'ala, from the barakah of the soon to enter blessed month of Rabi al-Awwal, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with these meanings, ya Rahman Rahim, fill our hearts with the love of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of His blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and to protect us from having our hawa overcome us, and to bless us with strong intellects, ya Rahman Rahim, that are fueled with a deep knowledge of the sacred law and correct thinking, ya Rahman Rahim, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sallam, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.